to have a day like this for couples. And the theme that we always want to talk about is divorce-proof your marriage. Now you can, you know, there's a lot of things that we can say about that. A little difficult to do that all in one evening. But what we do with evenings like this is we want to talk about intimacy. And we don't always talk about that in a congregation, obviously, because you have all kinds of people. And the church has been silent about that for too long, which gives all kinds of, brings all kinds of wrong ideas and ignorance and problems into marriages. And eventually, we don't have the marriages that we're supposed to have. And too often, marriages fall apart or people don't reach their potential because they're fighting all the time or they're unhappy or whatever. Lots of problems, lots of problems. And somehow, those problems seem to settle down in the intimate area. And we need to talk about that. Now, we talk about this with married couples tonight, and I'll be giving you a handout later on. Just some articles that I've put together that I found. Most of them we received from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, which I've saved for this evening. And I want you to take this home and read this at home and do it together. This is some good teaching, and I believe all of us can gain by this. If you don't have problems in that area, well, it's still good to read this. Still good to read this. You know, where as couples, we should have very open relationships and be able to talk about things between ourselves. Now, of course, every marriage is different, and we are not trying to lay down rules or regulations or and so on. There's a lot of information in these articles that I believe will be very helpful to read through. And I'm not giving this out to start a quarrel between couples, but just to have a kind of guideline. And so just read through that maybe one at a time and talk about it and see where you will arrive. We also have some books. We couldn't get a lot of books. We have some. They'll be out there in front. These are all Christian books. And so we do recommend that you buy some of these books. Now, as we said last time, don't be embarrassed to buy a book. Be embarrassed not to buy one. Because there's one thing about intimacy amongst Christians. It's one thing they don't want to talk about. Yet it is one thing that destroys marriages all the time. And maybe we should just realize that everybody else is talking about it except the church. And we cannot allow the enemy to come in and destroy our marriages. We need strong marriages in the church. Now, there's a lot that we can say about our relationships, about how to treat one another, and so on. We try to talk about relationships on Sunday mornings and cover some of those areas, but tonight, as we only have the married couples here, we want to focus on intimacy. Now, you know that we live in a world where sex is the number one thing. I mean, it's just everywhere. And some people seem to, I don't know if they're making money, what it is, but boy, I tell you, they're just driving this thing up, and it's just everywhere. Now, we're not part of the world, but we live under the pressure that comes from the world we live in. We live in a very broken world, and there's a lot of confusion out there concerning intimacy. And if we don't come in a church and we begin to straighten out a few things, then we will fall victim to much of what's going on in the world. Also, because the church has been silent for so long, a lot of misconceptions exist and a lot of misinformation and things that have been carried over from generation to generation and from people who didn't know much or they had some ideas and just brought a lot of confusion amongst Christians as far as sexuality is concerned and intimacy in marriage. Now, when we talk about intimacy and sexuality, Of course, we understand that it is only for married couples. We're not even talking about sex outside of marriage. It doesn't belong there. We shouldn't even talk about that. It was never designed to be practiced outside of marriage. That is something that has to do with marriage and marriage only. Now, of course, God gave us sexuality, and therefore, sexuality is should be seen as something that everything that comes from God is holy. Everything that comes from God is to be seen as something that is holy. Now, we know that every good thing that God gave us, the devil gave us a perverted form. And we must make sure we don't end up with a perverted form and then have our marriage destroyed or put under pressure, which will have an echo right through everything else that also goes on in marriage and just destroy it in the end. Now, we don't need, as Christians, we don't need to be ignorant about anything. I know, as someone who grew up in Christianity, that we'll read a book about anything except a book on sex. We'll go everywhere and study on everything, you know. But we will not buy a book on sex and study it and see what it's all about. And we should do it, and that's why we brought some books, and I hope we sell all those books here tonight. I don't want to put them on the bookshelf and then just there for everybody to see. So buy these books and read them, enrich your marriage, enrich your relationship, build a foundation that is strong, build a foundation that is that will hold throughout the entire marriage, throughout your lives, and build a marriage that is too strong to be invaded by someone else or by some idea and drive a wedge between the two of you. And so it is important for us to look at this and to talk about this very openly. Now, I want us to go, first of all, in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the heading there is Principles of Marriage. Principles of Marriage. Some of you thought we'll only work from the books we have here, eh? Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, of course, Paul is talking about his ministry and talking about spreading the gospel and so on, and he himself, of course, did not marry, and he's talking from that context. Oops. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, it's pretty clear that God designed our sexuality, but then he gave us marriage to safeguard our sexuality. And one of the things that marriage does is it gives us the opportunity to explore our sexuality in a safe environment and to do so without any questions, without any guilt, or without any danger. Marriage, you can have all kinds of relationships with people, but it's only within marriage that you can have a sexual relationship. So marriage has a lot to do with sexuality, and it should be so. It should be so. It is our insurance policy against immorality. And if the sexuality is not practiced in the right way, and that's where our problem lies, then the door is wide open for immorality to come in and to begin to destroy, to defile our marriages and eventually destroy our relationships and, of course, in our marriage. And when a marriage is destroyed, so much is destroyed. And so we need to understand that we have responsibilities in marriage as far as sexuality is concerned. We have responsibilities there. Paul uses pretty strong language here when he says that the woman's body, that she doesn't have authority over her own body, and likewise the man. You don't have authority over your own body. It's strong. Why? Because of immorality. Immorality will defile a marriage and a life and eventually destroy it. And we need to keep immorality outside. We need to keep it outside, and we need to understand that we have responsibilities as far as that is concerned. Every one of us has a responsibility. Come in. Every one of us has a responsibility that we need to understand very well. And we cannot ignore that responsibility. Because if we do, we open the door for destruction to come in. It's easy to ignore our responsibility, you know, because of whatever reason. The other side of that coin is you make your marriage vulnerable and yourself vulnerable to a lot of misery that may come into your life. So it is pretty important for us to understand all of this and understand our responsibilities. A couple of years ago, I was in Belgium, and there was a pastor from the United States who came to speak to some pastors there and some Christians in the French part of Belgium. And he knew an uncle of mine who was a missionary in South Africa and everywhere, and he knew him well, and because he knew him well, he wanted to meet me. So we made plans for myself and the people I was with to go to that meeting where he was going to speak. And here he's speaking with these people, and the topic, his topic for the day, is talk with these people about sex. And I thought, you know, what is going on here? You know, I didn't come all the way and drove from where I was to where they were, and, you know, just to come and have a whole morning, talk about that. But as he progressed with his talk, I understood that he was an older gentleman. I understood how important it was for us to listen to that type of thing and keep the devil out. A lot of Christians will pray, you know, for God to protect their marriages and so on, but they will not exercise their responsibilities, and so they open the door for the devil to come in. And when the devil comes in to destroy that marriage, then they blame the devil. In the meantime, they're at fault, because they just never realized or exercised their responsibility to protect their marriage and to make sure that their spouse will never have a reason to go outside the marriage to be fulfilled. Now, that's our responsibility. We need to make sure. Now, you know, I guess we all are a little different, just as we are in all things. We're also a little different in our sexuality. And we don't all have the same need or the same level of need and so on. And I think that's where the trouble comes in. But we need to understand that even though we may not have a strong sexual drive or a need, that we still have a responsibility. We still have a responsibility, and we need to exercise that responsibility because we are protecting our spouse. That's what we do. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not going to be as harsh as that man was, that pastor was. Boy, he was tough. Man, he just said, well, you know, all you have to do is, if you don't want to go for it, you carry your cross. Now, I don't want to God gave us sexuality for our enjoyment, to bring our couples together, to bind us together, not to bear a cross. So let's walk away from that one. If that is how you see it, then we need to talk. We need to talk, and you need to buy these books and maybe buy all of them. Just buy the whole stack of them and get yourself, you know, straightened out. God gave us sex, and there's a lot of information once again in these articles that we will be handing out. And I don't have to go there because then we waste a lot of time. But God gave us sex for many reasons. One of them is procreation. We have children, and that's one reason. But that's not the only reason. That's not the only reason. That is also for couples to come together. There's many good things that flow out of it, and a lot of bad things when it's not exercised the right way. A lot of bad things come out of it. Troubles, wars, fighting, unhappiness, you know, brokenness, frustrations. Eventually the children begin to pick up on all the unhappiness and they become unhappy. They don't know why, of course, but since the whole family is unhappy, everybody is unhappy. And that's not how God designed us to live. We understand that God designed us to live happy lives and blessed lives and fulfilled lives. And exercising our sexuality is part of that. And it's not an unimportant part of that. The fact that we don't always talk about it doesn't mean it's not important. It is. It is important. If you just look at all these books that people write these days, and these are all Christian books, then you understand there's a lot of people who need a lot of information. There's a lot of people who are ignorant about things, and they need to have accurate knowledge and do things right, understand their responsibilities. Now, I want us to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And here the writer of the Hebrews book gives us a bit of interesting information there in verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means sex is not a dirty thing. If it's practiced within marriage, sex is not a dirty thing at all. It is a holy thing, and it should be seen as a holy thing because it comes from God. God is the author and the designer of it, and therefore we need to see it as something that is holy and something that comes from God, and because it comes from God, something good. Not something bad, something good. And if it's not good, then we need to make it good. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about all kinds of sexual practices and things that we're not supposed to do. I don't think I have them all in my head, but I'll mention those that I can think of, and you'll find them in the pages that we'll be handing out. The interesting thing about that verse is that it says the bed is undefiled, which means that what you do there is undefiled. The Bible doesn't give us a list of what you're supposed to do and not to do. The Bible doesn't give you that list. So there's great freedom there. Now, having said that, I need to quickly say that whatever happens in a marriage bed must be with dual consent. You cannot force your spouse to do anything that he or she isn't comfortable with. You cannot do that, because then you violate something else, and then if you begin to violate the trust and that relationship, then you begin to destroy something that you could have built on. So while we have a lot of freedom, we also have our limitations. Now, I understand that those limitations will be different for every marriage. The Bible doesn't say anything about what to do and what not to do. It doesn't say anything at all. So it's for couples to decide what goes and what doesn't go. And so we cannot go home and quarrel between ourselves and say, well, you know, what pastor says is all free. And you know. No, we have to understand that, we have to do it with consent. You cannot, the moment we bring manipulation or abuse of authority or abuse of physical strength into any aspect of marriage, we're outside the will of God right away. You cannot do that. You cannot do that anywhere in your relationship, not only in the sexuality, but everywhere else. You cannot manipulate. Because manipulate is not freedom. Manipulation is not freedom. And abuse of authority is not freedom. And if we begin to exercise, boy, I tell you, I hate to be manipulated. When I begin to figure out somebody's trying to manipulate me, that's when I get tough. And difficult. Real, real difficult. Everybody hates that. Everybody hates to be manipulated, to be forced into something. And we cannot do that in marriage. So we need to respect one another, as we read earlier tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We need to respect each other, and we need to be affectionate towards each other. And our responsibility is to please our spouse more than it is to please ourselves. So there is a balance there that I want us to see. But with the balance comes a lot of freedom. And I'm not going to say what goes and what doesn't go. And I see some people begin to do that, but I don't have. As far as Scripture goes, I don't find anything else except that there are certain laws against certain sexual practices, and we're not allowed to break those laws, to violate them. And then then there's a law that is based on mutual respect and consent, and we need to honor that law as well. And within those boundaries, we have a lot of freedom to express ourselves and to enjoy sexuality. Now, wherever the devil finds unity, he fights against that. You know that. He hates unity because he knows that where there's unity, there's strength. Where there's unity, that's against his character, against his nature, and he knows that he's in for a defeat. Where he finds unity, because he loves to destroy. Jesus told us that in John chapter 10, and where he said that he came to steal and to destroy and to kill. That is his nature, and that's what he does. And so he loves to destroy marriages. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. I heard a statistic the other day that said 50% of marriages in Canada now end in divorce. That's high. That is high. I've seen statistics, Christian statistics, that say that destruction of marriages among evangelicals now seem to be higher than people that are not saved. Now, if you begin to see that kind of thing, then you understand the devil hates unity. He hates marriage. He hates when people stand together and he cannot drive a wedge in between them. He hates that. And he will use anything he can to divide unity where he finds it. And a very good tool in his hands today to drive marriages apart is in the sexual area. And especially in the kind of world that we live in today, where it is such a free thing, man. It's just everywhere, you know that. It's on television, it's everywhere. And people begin to believe, it's become a norm that sexuality is not confined to marriage. It's kind of old-fashioned to even think so. And Christians begin to come under that kind of pressure. And that's why marriages are broken, breaking up. Now, I'm not saying that sexuality is the only reason why it breaks up, but I do understand that where there is a healthy sexual relationship, it'll be very difficult for the devil to drive those two people apart. He can use their finances, he can use many other things, pressure, you know, all kinds of things that have a negative impact on a marriage. But where there's that strong cohesion between spouses, he'll find it very difficult to drive them apart. Very difficult. Now, and so we need to understand that the Bible's God said that the two, when he spoke about that, he said the two shall be one flesh. Now, there is, and of course, when he talk about flesh, he's talking about sexual unity. But there is also a spiritual unity. We know that. There's a spiritual unity. And that spiritual unity can be destroyed if we don't guard our sexual unity very well. And it'll drive us apart. Because that's where the devil will come in. Don't forget, the flesh is his area. And that's where he'll come in. And if he gets in there, he'll destroy everything else. You cannot have a marriage that is spiritually strong if you are not doing well in the area of sexuality. It just won't happen. The devil will have his foot in the door. And so this is something we need to fight for. Now, I said earlier, I do understand that there's a lot of things that must be in place for a marriage to be healthy in this area of sexuality. There's a lot of things, and we cannot go into all of them, but it is up to us to understand that there are certain principles that we need to recognize and that need to be in place if we want this to be healthy. We need to understand how men and women differ in this area and respect that. And not try to force ourselves in that area. And not try to abuse. And not try to take advantage. And certainly not try to manipulate or do anything else. But rather, try and find those principles and exercise them, because that will lead us to a good and a safe relationship. And live together long. And have a marriage that we can look back on and feel it was a blessing, it was something good. We have sown some good things into our children. We had a role model in front of them. It's something they could learn from and something they can take back into their own marriages one day. If we don't, the other side is, of course, that it's very difficult for children who grow up in an unhappy relationship between two spouses, between their parents, to have happy families one day themselves. Very difficult, because that's all they know. The only thing they know is what they see in us parents. That's all they know. And it doesn't matter how much we hate it, their marriages will be very close to carbon copies of our marriages. Very close. What they see in us is what they will duplicate in their relationships, because that's all they know. That's all they know. And so we have a responsibility, even as far as our children go, to have proper relationships that are strong, that are built on mutual respect and honor, but also great understanding that we are here to protect our spouse against the devil, against all his wiles, against all the temptations that he has to sow into our marriages. I have a responsibility. I may not feel up to that. I may not be in the mood. I may even hate that, but I have a responsibility. And that's, I guess, where this man said, well, you have to bear your cross. We have decisions to make. We have decisions to make. One of these places here I saw is that romance happens, but love is a decision. Now, romance doesn't last very long. I think we all know that, and if you don't know that, you'll find that out. But making a decision to walk in love and to stay in love is everybody's personal responsibility. And we have to exercise it with great wisdom, great understanding, and with the eye in the future, with the eye on the bigger picture, and build our marriages that are strong. Now, the reason why we talk about this, one of the reasons, is one of the strongest onslaughts on marriage today is in the sexual area. And there's a lot of pressure coming on people. There's a lot of information coming to people. People see things on television. Things are everywhere. And if we don't equip ourselves with accurate knowledge and great understanding, we'll fail in that area. And then we'll pay the price for that. We'll pay the price for that. And that's one thing we cannot allow in the church. Is our responsibility as the church is to make sure that our people do well in all areas of life. We want to see God's people prosper in the relationships and in their families and in their marriages and in their finances and in their businesses and careers and whatever else they do. Is our challenge to get our people to prosper in those areas and be an example to the world of what it is to be blessed of God, what it is to serve God, what it is to obey God, what it is to walk with God, that there's a blessing upon that. And God didn't come into our lives to rob us of the good things that we can enjoy amongst ourselves. And so equipping ourselves with good knowledge is one of the best things we can do also in this area. I think I said the other day that as a person, as individuals, we are people of many aspects that we need to exercise. You know, I am an economic personality because I participate in the economy. I have to. And because I participate in the economy, I need some understanding of how the economy works. Because if I don't, I'll fail in that area and destruction will come. So I must understand that I need to equip myself with enough knowledge that will help me to operate effectively in the area of economics in the world that we live in. We begin to open up more and more, and we begin to understand more and more how important that is for Christians to prosper financially. And we spend a lot of time talking about that, as you know. The same goes for health. We know that cancer is rampant today. And one of the great reasons for that is simply because people don't eat healthy. They're too lazy or too busy or too lazy, I don't know, maybe both, to cook a healthy meal and to eat healthy. And we go for the fast foods and things and drink a lot of pop, which is nothing else than a chemical soup, and poison our bodies. And we think because we serve God, we'll be healthy. No, we won't. We need to understand how our bodies work. We need to equip ourselves with knowledge, and we need to eat healthy. We need to exercise healthy. We need to work healthy, have healthy work habits and all of those things to make sure we end up being healthy people. Amen. Amen. And the same goes also for our sexuality. We need to equip ourselves and know what's going on and know how to operate in that area so that we can be successful and can be blessed in all areas and be the people that God created us to be. That is probably, and I'll be talking a lot about this tomorrow, that is probably one of the greatest reasons for the church is we have a responsibility as Christians to show the world what it is to be blessed, what it is to be happy, what it is to be saved. And if we cannot do that with the way we live, then we fail. And they will have no reason to follow us or listen to our message. They have a perception that Christianity is dull, it's nothing else than a lot of misery and rules and laws of do's and don'ts and so on. And you know they're wrong. They have an idea of God that he's a bad God. He's just there to punish them and judge them all the time. And he wants to take away all the good things from them and all the fun. And that's not true. How will they ever know the truth? By watching us. By watching us. Now, in a time where so many marriages are being destroyed, boy, I tell you, we have a responsibility to show them what a real blessed marriage looks like. They need to see what it is where two people can stand together and face every storm that comes. Of course, there's unity. We need to show them that we can, any challenge that comes, we can meet it and beat it because we stand together. We have a responsibility to show that you cannot always run away from things. We need to meet them head on as much as we can and fight our fights and win and show the world that it is possible. All things can be done. Now, we are going to take a break and spend some time. We'll be coming back here. But when we come back, I want to answer some questions. Now, I know nobody's going to ask any question here, so that's fine. So what we've done is you can write your question. If you have a question, there's a little thing in the back there. There's one for ladies and one for men. And you don't, of course, write your name. We don't want to know who asks what. And then we do a little survey because we're going to answer the big question tonight. People want to know about sexuality. And then, you know, all of that. And we're going to answer the question amongst ourselves. And the question is right in that little survey. And I ask that we go into the Talders room. There's a box. You can drop it in there. There's a pen. If you have a question, please write it. Let's ask questions tonight. Let's take the time tonight to deal with our issues. And don't be embarrassed and don't be scared, because we are protecting our marriages here. We are fighting to protect our marriages. Tonight we are doing something that is very important. And we need to close all the doors to the devil. And we need to do it tonight. This is an opportunity to do that. And let's deal with those questions as far as I can. You understand that I'm not a sex therapist. And I'm not a psychologist. I can only answer you from what I know in the Bible, okay? If you need any of those, then that's where you go. But, you know, I cannot help you with that. So, as we break, then God has them there. Let's do that. Now, here are the books that we have. Here's a book, Every Marriage is a Fixer-Upper. So don't be embarrassed by this one. And it's a Christian book written by Christians. I don't know if you know Stormy O'Martian. She wrote the foreword of this book. So this is a good book. I haven't read it, but I will. 15 dollars. Yes, a book that I think everybody wants. Red Hot Monogamy, Making Your Marriage Sizzle. Now then, look, I know everybody wants this book. Now you can read the back page, all right? But it's a Christian book. So, and these books have been recommended to us by Christians and by churches, and they're printed by Christian publishers. So we feel comfortable with them. Here's another book. The Sex-Starved Marriage. How much is this one? $20. Okay.
Now, the easy thing, if you're really intent by tonight, you can get it from Chatfish and you can get it online, so it's very easy. Just ask for Norbert's visa.
And you have that number.
Bring a spark back into your bedroom and your relationship with gutsy and effective advice from best-selling author. I mean, So yes, a good book. Here's an interesting book. Surviving a Spiritual Mismatch in Marriage. It says here at the back, someone came between Lee and Leslie Strobel, threatening to shipwreck their marriage. No, it wasn't an old flame, it was Jesus Christ. That's an interesting book. And I think this is an interesting book for us to read. And the more we read, the less trouble we'll have, because the more we'll know. Here's a book that, this is really a book, not about marriage or anything, but this is a book on raising children. You probably saw this on television. When I saw this book, I said, you know, we have to get this book in church. Home Court Advantage. Some of you bought the book that and Dr. Kevin Lehman wrote this book. And last time we had this evening, we sold a book by him on sexuality. He's a good Christian. And this is an excellent book. This is about raising children. Some of our people have asked me about books to raise children. We know this is very, very difficult today. This is one of our problem areas. This is a good book to read by a very well-respected Christian psychologist. And I think this is a good investment for every parent to have. Now, this one's a little more pricey. $25, okay. Yes, $23 US. It'll go for $25. So this is an excellent book. I strongly recommend this book. If you have children, get the book. Make the investment. I know these books are expensive, but you know, if you think how easy it is to spend $30 when you go to McDonald's, then this is a very good investment to make into your children's future. And raise children that will be godly, that will be a blessing to society, that will be an asset to society. It's a good place to start. Preparing your children to be winners in life. That's an excellent book. These books are on the book table there at the back. And you can get them from Gerda. We're going to break for coffee now. Now, I'm asking every one of you to take one of those little surveys. And make sure you pay a visit to the toddler's room. And let's help one another, okay? Let's help one another. This is not just to find out, we're not trying to find out anything about you. We are just trying to poll your opinion. We're just trying to see the questions that you may have, because the question you have may also be the question that someone else has. And we can all learn from them. Let's help one another. Okay, let's break.